Good morning. Welcome to Chamber Chat. This is Jack Llewellyn. And for Chamber events, simply go to DurangoBusiness.org. And a reminder, let's see, the day after Labor Day, we have coffee at Carver, 7:45 in the back area of Carver's. That's in the morning. And then also we have upcoming, I think it's on September 19th, is our annual appreciation party at the Chamber building. So invited guests of Chamber members and Chamber members, show on up. Aaron, being a Chamber member, you'll have to come down and enjoy our annual appreciation barbecue.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, it's free.
That's even better.
Aaron Neer with Muni Revs. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Jack?
You know, I'm doing really, really good for our Monday. No complaints.
Good.
Come off a good weekend. Things are raring to go. So Muni Revs, tell me a little bit about the history of how this came to be.
Sure. Well, I used to be a finance director for a town here in Colorado, and I realized that government software was just not innovating fast enough for businesses and right. for local governments.
Okay.
And so I invented the product back in 2011, and essentially we have a few different products. MuniRevs itself is a tax system and licensing system that we provide to cities. Mm-hmm. We provide it to cities, everything from Englewood, Colorado to Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And businesses can pay their taxes online through the system or get a license.
Interesting. So you saw this vision, being an entrepreneur. Oh, and congratulations, being an entrepreneur. You are one of the 50 Colorado companies to watch this year. Congrats.
Thank you.
So you said, and I'm going to jokingly say, I mean, government didn't have quick responding resources, and you came up with a solution.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, and it's being used really widely. We have 50,000 businesses, I think, that use the system right now.
50,000?
Yeah.
So basically, you contract with a city, and then you track all of their tax collections from businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. The businesses have an action center that we help them know what they need to pay that city or what they need to do to be in compliance with
like that reminders
city.
Of things that are coming up.
Exactly.
Interesting. Now, let me ask this, because I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't you have also something with, accommodations and lodging and tracking of that?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's our Lodging Revs product. And with that product, we actually can go to sites like Airbnb and VRBO. There's actually 30 to 50 of them that we do here in the U.S.
Okay.
And our product goes and finds all the listings, and then we determine what property that listing is actually for.
Okay.
And then we help the community bring them into compliance as well. They may not know they need a license. They may not be paying occupancy
right.
tax.
So obviously with Durango and La Plata County, there's a 2% lodgers tax. So if somebody's doing Airbnb, or they're doing a VRBO, they need to be collecting that.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And then if they wanted to, they could obviously contract with you to help negotiate or navigate that.
Yep, absolutely. We can help guide those property owners into compliance. And again, they can pay online through the system, so the revenues come in really easily to the
right.
community.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say that, because all of a sudden I'm thinking of, I used to have a property down in the Phoenix area, and we did a VRBO way back in the day, and I'm thinking all of a sudden going, we never did collect that. I wonder if they have one.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's the kind of thing you would do is say,
exactly
well,
it, yep.
or find, I'm going to say, violators like I was and say, hey, by the way, you need to be collecting this.
Absolutely. Level that playing field so that the hoteliers are paying the same taxes that those local
right.
owners that may be renting are using. Yep.
Well, and the other part of that money then goes in to help improve amenities and, you know, the whether it's water, sewer, bike paths, whatever it might be for the community.
Yep. They capture all of their taxes and then they have more revenues to support the community.
Now with the Wayfair ruling, what's going on there with everybody? Because I know in Colorado, there are some new changes.
Absolutely. So the Wayfair ruling basically cited that an economic nexus is now what creates the need to collect sales tax.
Okay.
And an economic nexus, because of our new internet age, is where an item may be shipped rather than actually having to have that store have a physical location.
Okay.
So where it started was the store Wayfair online in mm-hmm. South Dakota. They didn't actually have a store in South Dakota, but yet mm-hmm. people were buying things from Wayfair and they were shipping
right.
it to people's houses. So essentially that created the need for Wayfair or any business like that if they meet
Amazon,
the economic nexus.
Yeah.
Yes, Amazon, mm-hmm. eBay, Etsy, they need to then collect those taxes for that where they're sending to the address that they're sending the goods to.
Okay.
Here in Colorado, it's more complicated because we do have our home rule jurisdictions that can locally collect. One of the rules from Wayfair said that there needs to be, it needs to not burden the businesses. We need it to be one place that they can log in or make a payment for every place they ship to. And in Colorado, we don't quite meet that yet. And so that's why the state is currently working on procuring a single filing system. And then they've passed some other legislation in the meantime as well. House Bill 1240 is one of those that, that really kind of dictates the destination sorting for this sourcing for the state locations.
Now, if there's a threshold too, a certain amount of sales, and is that, if I remember, $100,000?
Yep. In Colorado, it's $100,000. Every state has different sources on that or different thresholds. So there's different agencies out there keeping track of that. But here in Colorado, for in-state businesses, it's $100,000 of total gross sales, not shipped.
That's the important part.
Yes. Total gross sales. And then the other part of that is that the state is currently developing a GIS system that will make it easier for businesses to look up the tax rate where they're shipping to. When that comes online, that threshold is supposed to go away.
Oh.
And I do think it's 12 months to 18 months out, but right. it's something to be aware of, that it's not a forever threshold.
Okay. And so let's say if I am a business and I'm going to say I'm a gallery in town because that's a big product or whatever. So if I sell something and I have over $100,000 in total sales, and some galleries, you know, you sell 20 paintings, obviously you hit that threshold very quickly. It's a large painting and somebody buys it there and they say, I want to ship this to my house, which is in, I'm looking at the map above you, in Illinois somewhere, you know, and then that business has to look up the tax rate and collect those taxes for where it's being shipped to, not necessarily here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy moly. And then, of course, like you say, government's making it easier. I'm doing quotation marks and kind of being facetious here a little bit. But this is where MuniRevs comes in and you can help navigate that.
Yeah. So particularly here inside Colorado, shipping within the state. So take that example and shift it to, I live in Englewood, and that's a home rule city that they would need to then collect tax for and remit individually. What we've done is, because there's a marketplace facilitator like an Amazon in this law, is that we've created our Inco marketplace that help a business like that gallery, instead of ringing that shipped sale through their regular point of sale system, they would use our app to ring it through that. We would calculate those taxes and we would remit those taxes for them.
Oh, so you can do it all.
Yes.
Now, what does something like that run? I mean, you know, are we talking hundreds of dollars a month? I mean, how much is something like that as a add-on to your point of sale system?
So we're doing a base fee of $39 a month, and then it's based on transactions from there. So we're looking at right around 75 cents a transaction.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say affordable then when you're looking at the volume and the elimination of the headaches.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I'm going to be Jack the devil's advocate. What if I buy the painting and I walk out of there and I take it then to have it shipped somewhere? You know, I go down to your local UPS and I personally have it shipped.
If you do that, that's fine, because you, the customer, took possession of it in that store and walked out of the store with it. So possession occurred in the store.
Oh, okay. So if somebody says, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and ship it myself, then that can be handled and you don't have to worry about the...
Yeah, then there's no sales tax problem.
Right,
yeah,
but the sales tax would be collected then for Durango.
For the city of Durango, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Interesting. Now, what's the biggest complaint or obstacle you see or hear from your businesses that you work with?
That, you know, the threshold is pretty low on this particular bill, and I think it's going to affect a lot of small businesses that may not have the capacity. We've heard some businesses, we had a business in Cortez tell us that they're just not going to allow purchases on their website anymore or not allow shipment inside Colorado. And that's not, I don't think, the intended consequence from this bill.
Right. Well, I know when you were gracious enough to come and give a presentation, we have about 30 people at the chamber, and watching, just reading some of the faces, won't say who, in the room that have been shipping and doing this for years and years, they were just like, I'm ready to sell. I mean, then that's that unintended consequence of this and that frustration. But at least people can reach out to you at MuniRevs and say, okay, Aaron, help me. And you can help them that. Well, let me ask you, I should ask this, what's your website and the best way people can find you?
IncoMarketplace.com.
One more time.
Inco, like Inside Colorado, marketplace.com.
Okay, and then you can answer all the questions for them.
Absolutely.
Now, the plugin, how hard is that? Because, you know, people use like maybe ShopKeep or all these other different types of systems, Foursquare, whatever it is. Or Foursquare, I guess, isn't a point of sale system. But some of the different, is it easy to do the plugin?
Yeah, you know, what we've done is we've built it for all the major e-commerce platforms. Uh-huh. So like the WooCommerce one is literally a zip file you download from our website. WooCommerce makes it really easy to install a plugin. It's literally clicking and browsing, and right. then it's ready to go. We even have a universal one. So some of our businesses, especially here in Durango, have asked, you know, well, gosh, I don't use Shopify or sure. WooCommerce. I built my own custom site. So we've built a universal one where our programmers can actually help them install it. We have a little bit of an implementation fee there, but just help them stay on the current e-commerce platform they have.
Now, how many employees do you have?
We're at about 15 right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then plus our development team, which is contracted.
Right. Now, when you started this business, I mean, your accounting background. So where did you come up? I mean, how did you find software writers and all of that and apps? Or maybe you don't want to give away that secret. I don't know.
No, I was really lucky to find proper programmers when I had the idea to help me turn it into a product. And we've been working with a firm out of Michigan for 4 years now. And what's great about using a firm instead of contractors is just that, you know, there's five guys on our team. And if we need something new to build, they have the depth and resources to continue to flex with us.
Wow. So let me ask you, what's the two-part question, the biggest challenge and then the biggest reward being your own business owner and entrepreneur?
In terms of a challenge, it's sometimes it's actually kind of keeping things in check and making sure you don't follow the next shiny object before you deliver the first one. Entrepreneurs tend to be pretty visionary, but I would say that's what it is to make sure that we can continue to deliver and fulfill. And that's really our primary goal, is to thrill our customers. And we do a pretty good job keeping ourselves in check there.
Uh-huh.
And then in terms of reward, it's really the same thing. It's just, we have cities that tell us that we're the angels behind their computer because we make it so much easier for them. And businesses that tell us they want to sing YouTube videos about how easy our system is. You know, that's our goal, is to make business and government a little bit easier on the tax side and licensing.
Wow. So looking into the future, are there any other products, services, and challenges you hear out there? You go, I'm going to take that one on and solve that problem. Are there things in the back, that you're thinking, looking forward, that you might do?
There's always new features, especially for the property management side of like lodging revs. We always have ideas there on how to make things easier for the big managers. And
right.
I would say there's always new features that we're looking at in terms of additions we can add.
Okay. Now, besides joining the chamber, what are some of the resources that you would recommend to people that they take advantage of here in the Four Corners area when they're starting a business?
You know, there's the great resources also at SBDC in terms of advisors, and SCAPE, the accelerator program.
Yeah.
I actually went through it a little differently than most companies as a mature company, went through 2 years ago. And just the access to those advisors and mentors is just tremendous in terms of, guiding. You know, again, as an entrepreneur, you can get maybe a little lost in ideas or on which one to pursue next. And so we are so fortunate to have those resources right here in the Durango area.
I know it's the Small Business Development Center with Mary Shepherd, and then also Elizabeth Marsh with SCAPE, Southwest Colorado Accelerator Program for Entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
And late Ed Moreland loved acronyms, in the little world of economic development. We've got about 30 seconds left. What have I forgot to cover?
I'm not really sure.
All right. So your website one more time.
Munirevs.com is our primary site for the Wayfair solution. It's IncoMarketplace.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just, because I stalk you on Facebook, you got out on the river, it looks like.
Yes. Yes. Had some fun with the family on the Dolores this weekend.
So and you live over in that area.
I do. Yeah. We're outside of Dolores, but we do have our offices right here on Main Street above the Irish Embassy as well. So most of our team is office there.
I've seen you up there, actually. I was up dropping something off and I went, oh, look, there's MuniRevs. So if anybody needs to, one more time, I'm going to have you plug the website again.
MuniRevs.com.
MuniRevs.com, and then come in and find out all the wonderful information. And again, congratulations on the being named one of the 50 Colorado companies to watch.
Thank you, Jack. We really appreciate all the resources the Chamber has provided.
Well, I'll give you a dollar for saying that. Thanks for your time and coming in, Aaron. We got to send it back over to the studios. Again, you've been listening to Chamber Chat. And you can go to DurangoBusiness.org for chamber upcoming events, and MuniRevs.com, R-E-V-S, that is in Rev It Up, MuniRevs.com, if you need help tax collecting.
Thanks.
Thank you. We got to send it back. Have a great day.